A patient once told her therapist a story that would guide his practice for decades. She'd spent years angry at her father for never attending her childhood performances until she finally asked why. He explained that after working grueling factory shifts, he'd come home, shower, and collapse into bed, setting his alarm to wake for her events. But exhausted, he'd sleep through the alarm every time. "I never knew," she said, tears streaming. "I was looking out my window, never thinking to look out his." This simple revelation captures the essence of transformative therapy, the radical act of seeing the world through another's eyes. For 45 years, Irvin Yalom practiced this art, distilling his wisdom into insights that transcend the consulting room. His approach challenges everything we think we know about healing, that therapists must remain detached experts, that childhood analysis holds all answers, that professional boundaries require emotional distance. Instead, he offers something far more powerful, the recognition that healing happens when two human beings meet authentically, acknowledging their shared vulnerability in facing life's ultimate questions. We fantasize about the perfectly analyzed therapist who has transcended human struggle, a comforting, wizard-like figure. But this misconception creates the very distance that prevents healing. Hermann Hesse's tale captures this perfectly. Two rival healers, Joseph and Dion, each fell into despair at different times. Unknowingly, they sought help from mysterious strangers who turned out to be each other in disguise. Only on Dion's deathbed did they confess, realizing that healing flows both ways, through nurturing others and being nurtured ourselves. Research confirms this. The therapeutic relationship itself, not clever interpretations, catalyzes change. Experiencing a relationship with someone who knows your darkest secrets yet still accepts you becomes transformative. Years later, patients rarely remember brilliant insights. They remember the moment their therapist said, "I believe in you," and meant it. And they remember being truly seen and not found wanting. The therapist isn't a blank screen or omniscient expert, but a fellow traveler who has faced similar existential challenges. When Yalom exchanged uncensored notes with Ginny, a creative writer patient, he discovered she never heard his elegant interpretations. What mattered were tiny gestures he barely noticed, complimenting her scarf, apologizing for lateness, chuckling at her observation. These small relational moments, not his theoretical brilliance, made her feel valued. This reveals empathy's true nature. It's not projecting what we'd feel in someone's situation, that's narcissism in disguise. True empathy means inhabiting their window, seeing their unique view shaped by experiences we've never had. When patients venture guesses, "You must be tired of seeing me," they're often projecting self-criticism. Don't respond with silent neutrality. Try, "Is there a question in there for me?" This teaches asking directly rather than mind reading. Then offer honest feedback. "You're reading me entirely wrong, but notice how your guesses always err in the same direction. You consistently underestimate how much I care." Real empathy requires letting patients matter to you. A British analyst once boasted that after 10 years treating a group, he hadn't changed whatsoever. True empathy means allowing others to enter your mind and change you. The most powerful therapeutic change happens by examining what's occurring right now in this room between therapist and patient. This here and now focus transforms therapy from abstract discussion into a living laboratory where patterns reveal themselves in real time. Two principles support this. We're social creatures whose self-image forms through others' reflected appraisals, and therapy functions as a social microcosm where patients inevitably display their interpersonal problems, whether demanding, fearful, arrogant, seductive, or controlling. Notice how patients greet you, choose their seat, begin sessions. These everyday interactions provide diagnostic gold. Keith catastrophized arriving late just as he did with parenting failures. Alice's crude, pushy behavior that alienated romantic interests appeared immediately with her therapist. Albert's unexpressed anger toward his girlfriend mirrored his unvoiced frustration in therapy. rather than relying on secondhand reports, identify here and now equivalents within the therapeutic relationship itself. Kurt Lewin's 1946 workshop discovered something revolutionary. When participants overheard researchers discussing their group dynamics, the room electrified. People learn best by simultaneously participating in interactions and analyzing them. Deliberately inquire about the relationship in every session. Let's take a minute to check how you and I are doing. Establish this from the first session, exploring how they found you, their expectations, their first impressions. For decades, therapists aspired to be blank screens, neutral and withholding. Yet research shows authenticity facilitates healing. Even Freud intervened in patients' lives far more than this model suggests. Therapist transparency operates in three realms. First, explaining therapy's mechanism, how it works, and how clients can maximize progress improves outcomes. Authentic relationships demand foregoing the traditional healer's reliance on magic, mystery, and authority. Second, disclosing here and now feelings requires one test. Is this in the patient's best interest? Sharing, "I notice I feel shut out when you give one-word answers," led one patient to reveal, "If I let you know me fully, I'll discover your shortcomings and lose confidence in your ability to help." Third, revealing personal details requires careful consideration. When Yalom's mother died, he shared this with his therapy group, demonstrating how appropriate self-disclosure removes roadblocks and models openness. The twist, patients often resist therapist self-disclosure, preferring to maintain you as a mysterious, omniscient figure. One patient explained, "I want to keep you outside time. A narrative has a beginning, middle, and end, especially an end." Yet paradoxically, acknowledging our shared mortality creates the safety that allows true healing. Death haunts us beneath consciousness, yet most therapists avoid it. But therapy explores life's meaning, and since life and death are interdependent, how can we ignore it? Though physical death destroys us, the idea of death may save us. Terminally ill patients reveal remarkable transformations, reprioritizing values, trivializing trivia, growing wise facing mortality. Cancer patients in therapy groups lamented, "I had to wait until my body was riddled with cancer to learn how to live." Approach death directly and matter-of-factly. Obtain a history early. When did they first become aware of death? Who did they discuss it with? What deaths have they experienced? With severe death anxiety, calmly dissect specific fears, typically concerns about dying, survivors, afterlife, or obliteration. Once therapists demonstrate equanimity discussing death, patients raise it more frequently. Beyond death, therapy must address other existential concerns. We're meaning-seeking creatures thrown into a world without intrinsic meaning, tasked with inventing meanings sturdy enough to support life. Freedom has a darker side. We are condemned to freedom, responsible for designing ourselves through choices and inactions. Significant change requires patients to assume responsibility for their role in distress. Even with legitimate grievances, examine the 1% they contribute. That's where you can help most. The gift of therapy carries layered meaning. Therapists offer unconditional acceptance through attentive nods, perfectly timed silence, and careful reflections that help someone feel truly seen. But the gift flows both ways. Patients bring raw trust and brave vulnerability, inviting therapists into their most private inner worlds. This mutual exchange creates unique alchemy where both participants are simultaneously teachers and students, healers and healing. This approach counters increasingly mechanized, protocol-driven mental health care. In an era of brief interventions and medication-focused psychiatry, it champions relationship-centered therapy, addressing fundamental human conditions, not just surface symptoms. The insights resonate beyond professional boundaries. We all grapple with death anxiety, isolation, the burden of freedom, and the search for meaning. The concept of fellow travelers dissolves the artificial hierarchy between helper and helped. The ultimate gift emerges not from technical expertise, but from genuine human connection. When we dare to be fully present with another person, we offer the most profound gift possible, the experience of not being alone in this strange, beautiful, terrifying journey of being human.